Joyful blessings. This is Kayla Castell with a look at week one of the May 2015 celestial timings. And as I mentioned in the overview on where the planets are and talking about the magic of Mercury with Aldebaran, and I went into some detail about that. So definitely check out that audio if you haven't had a chance to yet, because there's some information there that is definitely not anything I wrote about. So Mercury begins, we begin May. It's always May Day. Beltane is considered to happen on the 1st of May. Actual astrological Beltane will be May 5th when the sun reaches 15 degrees of Taurus. And we will have a Beltane full moon on May 3rd. So very close to the actual astrological Beltane. I talked a lot about Mercury in the overview of the planets and where they are and how important it is that Mercury starts the month with the Pleiades and then also will be hanging out with Aldebaran for the entire month of May due to the retrograde happening on May 18th. So the other thing just to know is that when Mercury is passing by the Pleiades, it just entered Gemini. And that happened on April 30th in most time zones, but in many time zones, it's happening on May 1st. So if you're on the West Coast, it was at 7 o'clock at night. If you're on the East Coast, it was at 10 o'clock at night on the 30th that it actually entered Gemini. And if you're in time zones further east, of course, it would definitely be on the night of or the morning of the of May 1st, and is very close to the Pleiades as we begin the month. Then the moon will pass by Spica on May 2nd, and this is another one of the Bohemian stars, and one of the stars that you can work star magic with. And in the overview, I talked about how the Cornelius Agrippa, who was an alchemist of the ancient variation, who wrote a book about the alchemy of the how to work with these particular stars when planets or the moon were passing by there. And so working with the idea of connecting the super celestial through the celestial being the planets in this case, and also how we connect with that, bringing it into, he called the supernatural. And when we're able to connect our awareness and attention and intention to these times, it's worth that. So in the written version, the PDF, you'll see the star map of how the moon will be past Spica, because it's actually passing Spica really early in the day. So by the end of the day, so on May 1st, you'll see the moon approaching Spica. It'll be above Spica. Then it'll be with Spica during the day. And then by the end of the day, or that by the evening, the very, very full moon, actually pretty full, will be below Spica. The other thing to just keep in mind is that Venus, and she starts the month with the horns of the bull, just kind of sitting between the horns of the bull, and above, or kind of to, well, we could say sort of to the, you know, if you look at the star map, it's to the left and below Venus is Orion. And so Venus is passing by Orion as it does, as it tends to do. And this is really also pretty cool because Orion is one of the constellations that is around, is inside the sacred hoop, actually. So we can see Orion inside the sacred hoop and know that that is a very special place of the sky. The Egyptians thought that Orion was extremely important, and they saw that this was the place, or they felt this was the place where it was a birthing place. And it turns out that more stars are being birthed in the near the belt of Orion. Actually, if you look at take Rigel and some of the other bright stars, there's a triangle that's there, and that is the place where astronomers have found more stars are being birthed than anywhere else. To the Celts, Orion was the high man, and the hand reached right up to the galactic center where Venus will be later this month, and actually crossing over galactic center at the same time the moon is crossing over the galactic edge. This is at the edge of the galaxy where Orion is, and then the galactic center is in the opposite point. So we'll talk about that that is actually happening on May 7th, when the moon will be on crossing the galactic cross at galactic center, and Venus is crossing the galactic cross, the galactic edge. So worth tuning into Venus so that we get a sense of what are the stars and what does it look like at the center of the, at the edge of the galaxy when the sun is there, and the sun will be there at the June solstice. So it's a way to tune in to see that, and the sun on the cross at the June solstice is something that's happening for at least 72 years from 1962 to 2034, and it's very important to be aware of how this is telling us that we're at the turning of an age. It's only every 26,000 years the sun can be on the cross at the galactic edge at the summer solstice, and that's happening now. So, but backing up a little bit, we've got the Beltane full moon within about a day and a half or so of the exact astrological cross quarter. Ancient cultures, particularly the Celts, would celebrate Beltane at the full moon or near new moon nearest Beltane, and often it would become a 2-week celebration. They would celebrate either at the new moon or full moon and then celebrate for 2 weeks until the next, depending on whether it was the new moon first, then it would be followed by the full moon, or the full moon first, then it would be followed by the new moon. This is really a big deal. And I wrote a little bit about this. It will be 2020 before we have another full moon this close to Beltane, and 2023 when the full moon actually falls on Beltane on May 5th. The last time it fell on Beltane was 2012. So this is high magic. It's the kind of the calibration of the lunar cycle with the solar cycle, bringing together the lunar cycle at a cross quarter point with the solar cycle. And the solar cycle is fixed every year around May 5th. The sun reaches 15 degrees Taurus, the halfway point between zero Aries and zero Cancer. Zero Aries is the spring equinox point, and zero Cancer is the summer solstice point. So when the sun is at those points, it is in those seasons. So the sun reaching 15 degrees Taurus means it is at the exact halfway point or cross quarter point. And it was extremely important to cultures, especially ones that were in more northern climates. They actually saw this as the beginning of their summer, and that the summer solstice was the mid-summer point. And so we have the stories, or the, you know, Shakespeare wrote about Midsummer Night's Eve, which was the summer solstice. It wasn't considered to be the beginning of summer. So those are interesting ways of tuning into this energy. And if you have anything at 15 degrees Taurus, then the sun is activating that at the solstice, and then this full moon is also activating that. If you have anything around 13 to 15 degrees of Scorpio, and you can actually add a few more degrees on either side of that, then the Scorpio full moon on May 3rd is extremely activating for you as well, especially for those who may be Scorpio rising or Taurus rising. Any full moon and the Scorpio Taurus axis activates that ascendant descendant line, or maybe you have it on the midheaven IC. It's activating that, so it becomes far more personal to you. And on May 3rd, right before the exact full moon, we have Mercury opposite Saturn. So I always find this to be a fascinating combination, because when Mercury is opposite Saturn, or Mercury is with Saturn in any way, there's the energy of Mercury that goes really fast and is also about going beyond the rules, and Saturn, which goes very slow. So Mercury can make a complete rotation around the sun in 88 days. It takes almost 30 years for Saturn to do that. So Mercury is very fast. Saturn's very slow. So that we bring those two things together, and it's interesting to see what can come up. And Mercury may be bringing messages to Saturn about new ways of experiencing Sagittarius, you know, the quest for truth and meaning, and really going beyond the limitations of our beliefs that we have at this time, the limitations of what we have believed is the way to engage the spiritual path, the limitations of the old traditions. And not that those old traditions aren't valid, but what are the limitations that may be connected to them? Particularly if there's a belief that it's, you have to really work hard. Enlightenment's hard work. Mercury in Gemini opposite Saturn was saying, no, it's fun. Have fun and play. It's definitely not necessarily meant to be just this really hard, difficult thing that you have to do. So it'll be just interesting to tune in and see what is the message Mercury has for Saturn in Sagittarius. The Scorpio full moon is also with the fixed stars Zubin al-Janubi and Zubin al-Shamali. These are the two brightest stars that mark the constellation of the scales. And in Egyptian mythology, they would weigh the heart of the one who had died against the feather of Ma'at, or the feather of truth. And if the heart was heavier, then the person would reincarnate in this reality. If the heart was lighter, then they had the choice of whether they wanted to come back here or go on to the Duat, I think it is called, you know, on to the higher places, that they could move along the evolutionary path. So the thought that came up to me when I was tuning into this is how when our hearts are heavy with grief, with pain, with guilt, with shame, with fear, with blame, with any of those kinds of feelings, then our hearts will be heavier than the feather of truth. So when we get to the place of gratitude, it doesn't mean that we haven't had those experiences. Of course we have, and of course they've been painful and challenging, but the way we transmute them is through gratitude and being able to see that these challenges have actually given us gifts. And when we can get to that place, then our hearts become lighter. So something just to tune into with this full moon, and as you see the moon in the sky and you see the star map, that the moon is very close to Zubin al-Janubi at the time of the exact full moon, within a couple of degrees. Zubin al-Janubi is right around 15 degrees of Scorpio. And interestingly, that is where the sun is at the opposite cross quarter, the Samhain cross quarter, when the sun is halfway between the equinox, the September equinox, and the December solstice. So, the zero Aries, zero Libra point, and the zero Capricorn point. And so, this full moon is really significant and magical and amazing, especially when we tune into it and open our hearts to the possibility that's there for us. You know, what is it that we can empower ourselves with? What is it that we can release that is holding us back, whatever that might be, whether it's fear, whether it's a belief, whether it's a place where we are have closed our hearts. And so the intention of any Scorpio full moon is really to connect into life force energy as powerfully as possible. So you can tune into that as well. So then the sun is going to square Jupiter on May 4th, and this represents the point after the Jupiter has stationed direct back last month in April. And now that means that there's a strong forward movement, and that the sun is helping to fuel that forward movement for Jupiter, as it is investigating more about healthy self-love and self-respect and how we love ourselves or not love ourselves. And, you know, I was having this moment the other day where I was thinking, I was starting to go into some of the thoughts that we all tend to go into of how I haven't done enough, I should be doing more, I'm behind, I need to get these things done. And I suddenly just stopped myself and said, stop. Think about all of the things that you have already accomplished. And I actually even took it way back, like, you know, how I've how I have transformed and changed and the healing work I've done and gotten, you know, and just really loving that about myself. I love how I've done that. And so just stop that train of negative judgment. And that's a really great way to practice when you notice that you're doing that, and to just really, you know, take good care of yourself and think kind things about yourself. And if you find you're not thinking kind things about yourself, stop. Stop it. And then, you know, think about, and if it might help to make a list, I think I wrote about this in the version of the timings, the written version of the timings, make a list of things you love about yourself. And you can also make a list of things you want to love about yourself that you maybe don't feel you have fully gotten yet, but it's kind of like giving advanced gratitude. When we start giving gratitude for the things that we already feel that we, you know, that we don't have, but we're giving gratitude for them anyway, we draw them to us. So it would be a powerful practice. And I woke up this morning thinking about my list that I have been sort of suggesting this for a long time, and it's time for me to do that. So I'm going to be making my list, and maybe I'll share it in the future, celestial timings. So we have the exact cross quarter on May 5th, and that's when the moon will be going into Sagittarius and passing Saturn. And that is, when the moon is in Sagittarius, that activates the Grand Fire Trine that we've been talking about over the last few months. And you can look at the written version and also go to the April timings for more about the Grand Fire Trine if you're not remembering that, what that's about. But it is the Sagittarian energy. It's like fire is energy. Fire is what fuels its connection. It's spirit. It's also an expression of spirit. And so it is what animates life. Without fire, we would have no life. Without any of the elements, we would not have life. But Sagittarius is particularly interested in the quest for enlightenment. And so the Saturn in Sagittarius is about the new quest. The moon coming by here amplifies that. And the opportunity is to hang out with the moon and Saturn. They'll be beautifully visible in the evening sky. On May 6th, the sun is going to trine Pluto. And this is part of the still point of the Pluto cycle. Pluto went retrograde last month, but it's been sort of suspended in the sky. It's not moving very much right now. And we can access that still point. And so when we're connected to the still point, we're connected to the place of all possibilities. And I actually think that in the PDF of the May Celestial Timings, you'll find the still point poem from T.S. Eliot, which is worth tuning into because it really gives you a sense of how to work with that. And then, as I mentioned, on May 7th, the moon is going to enter Capricorn, crossing the galactic cross near galactic center. So it'll be rising later in the day, and later in the night, and it will already be past that. So on the night of May 6th, you can see the moon approaching the galactic cross, and then on the night of May 7th, you'll see the moon past the galactic cross. And then Venus on the night of May 7th will be still very near the galactic cross at the galactic edge, at where the summer solstice sun will be. So you can tune into that. And I wrote quite a bit about the there's a book called The Mysteries of the Great Cross of Hende, and that from the galactic center there can be this galactic superwave. And there's a lot of evidence now that is from astronomers that's pointing to the fact that that has happened in the past, and the last time was about 10,000 years ago, and they think it happens around 10,000 year intervals, which is kind of interesting. So that there's this light energy that helps to increase the evolution, we're in this time of evolutionary leap. And so the sun at the December solstice on the cross near the galactic center is charging that possibility and that time. But that, again, we're at sort of the opposite season of that right now, but just something to be aware of, and you might want to tune into and read about and talk about what I talked about with that. So that completes the first week. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. And then on May 7th, Mercury reaches its greatest elongation. I already talked about that in the overview of the planets, but it is reaching into unknown territory as far from the sun as it possibly can. And it's as if it's reaching for that information from the super celestial and bringing that back through the celestial, and it will bring it back to the sun, the source, and it will be conjunct the sun at the end of the month. So just tuning into what is it that Mercury is reaching for at this particular time, and what is it that is being brought back. We don't necessarily know with our logical mind. It's something we get to feel into.